Hello and welcome to Psychic Teachers, and we are delighted that you have joined us for tonight's show. We will be discussing some just real practical, sensible uses for the stones that you have in your home, and some that you might want to obtain for just some real logical, practical ways to use crystals. So we are happy that you have joined us tonight for this show. We're also going to be later in the hour responding to some email and correspondence that we have gotten from some listeners, particularly a couple that were a follow-up to our show last week on divination tools. So we're just so happy that you're with us. I hope that the weather is lovely where you are. It has been beautiful where we live today. So sit back, take a deep breath, and if it's safe to do so, just close your eyes for a moment and focus on being with us. If you are a regular listener to our show, you know that we always begin our show with a meditation of the week and a tarot card of the week.
Moonstone is just this amazing crystal, and that there's just so much I feel that both Deb and I, because I know, Deb, you love Moonstone.
I do.
So I feel like there's so much we'd say about it, but in very general terms, it is a beautiful stone that really helps with our intuition, our emotions, and our balance. It's often called the stone of new beginnings. It is definitely connected to the moon, and it is said to change with the waxing and the wane of the moon. It helps to increase our intuition. It encourages lucid dreaming. It enhances psychic ability and helps to develop clairvoyance. Edgar Cayce recommends that moonstone should only be worn as a necklace. He said it is best used when worn as a pendant, and it helps to encourage acceptance of your psychic gifts. I have a couple of emails later I hope we can get to where people just writing to tell us, you know, basically thank you for your show because it's helped me to be more confident with my psychic gifts. And I think that's one of my favorite emails to receive. Wouldn't you agree, Deb?
Oh, indeed.
And people are finally saying, yes, this is my given sixth natural sense and I'm accepting it. So Moonstone as a necklace can help you to do that. It's a great balancer of male-female energies. It aids men who want to get in touch with their feminine side. It helps to encourage and increase serendipity and synchronicity, which I think increases every time we get in touch with our intuition anyway. It helps to improve one's emotional intelligence, and I think that's really important to think about, our emotional intelligence, where we're really getting in touch with our empathy and our compassion. If Moonstone is placed on the solar plexus, it will draw out old emotional patterns so that we can release them, understand them, and bless them. For women, it helps with anything related to menstruation, PMS, all of that type of stuff. With children, Moonstone can be very calming. It helps with hyperactive children. It helps to alleviate night terrors. It helps for children. Moonstone is placed in their room. It helps to settle at nighttime regular bedtime routine. Cassandra Eason, I just want to read briefly from her book, The Illustrated Directory of Healing Crystals. She says, a dish of moonstone in the main sitting area at home helps to ease the tensions of the day and to mark the transition between the world of work and home. It's also a friend to shift workers and those whose jobs involve constant traveling and irregular hours because moonstone will help the body clock to adjust. And I just think that's important because I know many of you listening to this show do work, you know, different hours and are constantly trying to leave the workday at work. So Moonstone, a bowl of Moonstone by your front door will help with that. So in a very brief nutshell, that's Moonstone. Go buy some, wear it around your neck.
Yeah, absolutely. I have an absolutely exquisite moonstone necklace that's set in a lovely antique setting that was a gift from our wonderful friend Joel, and I wear it often. I love that stone, and it does change. It's almost like the whirling patterns in the stone do change with the phases of the moon. So there you go.
Very nice.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and so I'll do the tarot card of the week. As you know, folks, we are working our way through now the Suit of Swords in the Minor Arcana of Tarot. We're almost done with the Suit of Swords. Tonight it is the Knight of Swords, and this is a young man. The card pictures a young man who is in motion. You can tell from this card that this horse is being ridden hard, and he's got the sword up in the air. And it's interesting in that while this is such a masculine feeling card, it also has in the bottom left corner cypress trees, which are sacred to Venus. So we see that there are birds also, which are sacred to air, which the swords are of the suit of air, and that he's also got symbols of butterflies on his armor and on the horse, on the horse's harness, which represent the soul. So when this card appears in a reading for me, right side up, it's about someone who is courageous, someone who is willing to face life's challenges as they come and know that they are guided by spirit. When this card appears reversed in a reading for me, it's a caution to tell someone not to brag about who they are or what they're doing, and to be more circumspect and discreet in their actions, and to maybe slow down and take stock of decisions that they make before they act rashly. It also, for me, the knights also represent typically for me, and that's true of all four suits, they often represent young adults, people in their early 20s, not always male, but someone who's in their early 20s. And if I'm reading for someone who has a child of that age, they're often represented by the knights in the suits for me.
Very good. Thank you. And we're almost done, right?
We're almost done with the suit of swords. We've got the queen and the king, and then we move on to pentacles.
Okay. I thought we'd already done pentacles. Okay.
Okay. We still got
I did mention pentacles. Someone, I think I told you, someone in a reading said to me, what are you you and Deb going to do when you finish the tarot? And I said, we're going to move on to her medicine cards. And she said, oh, you need to mention that because I've been wondering. So.
Oh, okay. That's what we're going to do. We're going to move on to our animal helpers.
Yes.
That will happen when we finish traditional tarot.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So we're going to move on now to our guided imagery of the week. So if everybody could, whether you're listening now or later on podcast, if you're in a position to do so, close your eyes and take a nice deep breath in. And on the exhale, allow yourself to just follow my voice and feel relaxed and relieved of any stress or anxiety about your weekend or your upcoming week. And really see yourself breathing in white light and exhaling black smoke so that you are symbolically breathing in the positive and exhaling the negative, which is no longer serving you. And as you're listening to my voice, see the black smoke of negativity that you're exhaling getting grayer and grayer and lighter until you're inhaling the healing light and exhaling the healing light. I'd like for you to picture that you're outside. You're in a beautiful clearing in a forest. It's just rained. The trees are still glistening with dewdrops from the rain. The sky is that wonderful clear blue that often comes after a cleansing rainstorm, and the air smells so crisp and clean and beautiful. And you can just feel the wonderful energy from the earth being so thoroughly cleansed from this rainstorm. And as you breathe in the air, you too feel thoroughly cleansed and rejuvenated. And in front of you, you see this beautiful rainbow. And he wants you to walk towards this rainbow. Except this time, you can actually touch the rainbow. And I want you to see this beautiful rainbow with its red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple colors, vibrantly in front of you. And I want you to walk into the rainbow. And as you walk into the red, breathe in the red. Nice inhale. And as you walk into the orange, breathe in the orange and the yellow, feeling the courage and the confidence that that wonderful yellow color brings to us. And the green, breathing in the healing energy of the green. Walking deeper into the rainbow, see yourself imbued and completely filled with this beautiful light blue energy. Walk into the beautiful dark purplish blue indigo color. And walk into the beautiful violet-purple color. And as you get to the end of the rainbow, there really is gold, except this one is just a pot of pure gold light. And I want you to see yourself just diving in there like it's a big swimming pool of golden light. And just see your entire body encased in this beautiful gold. And see your energy completely sealed in this golden light, knowing that as you go into your upcoming week, your energy is sealed from taking on any negativity, any anxiety, or stress. And repeat inside your mind, I am completely protected. Around me is a hedge of protection of golden light. I am loved, I am loving, and I am lovable. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and come back, knowing that you are cleansed now and ready for a new week to begin.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I wanted to put out a little request to everyone. I get so many emails every week, and I really appreciate them, with people asking me to put my little guided imageries onto a CD. And so I finally am deciding to take your message to heart, and I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to try to just put them on to an MP3, so you can just put it directly to your iPod or your computer. And so what I would like, if you could, email me what you would like guided imagery on. Would it be on cleansing, protection, psychic opening, forgiveness? And I'll just go by the most, whichever subject gets the most votes is what I'll go by. But I'm going to try to put four guided imageries onto the MP3 with four different subjects. Does that make sense? Like I said, forgiveness, healing, psychic protection, psychic opening, cleansing, that type of thing.
Glad you're getting around to that.
Yes, me too.
Nice. All right. Okay, so let's talk about crystals and just some real practical uses for crystals. And if it's all right with you, Samantha, I'd like to start with amethyst.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Because amethyst is such a versatile stone. Oh, someone wants meditations from Deb, too. Thank you. I'd
Very
love to
nice.
Be able to do that. I'll try to get around to that as well.
There you go.
So let's start with amethyst, because amethyst is called the all-healer. And so it really is one of the most versatile stones you can have in your toolbox. It does so many wonderful things. And one of the things that it does is it cleans other crystals. You can put other stones on amethyst or wrap them up in a piece of cloth with amethyst, and amethyst will clean them. And that's particularly helpful if you've got stones that you're working with that are not able to be cleaned in water, or you're worried about putting them in salt or something like that. You can just let amethyst do that work for you. So just think about that. Because it is spring and people are planting things, amethyst is a great stone to put in the soil around any kind of plant, but particularly those where you're concerned about the light and water balance, amethyst will help do that. So just little tiny pieces, these don't have to be great big rocks, just little shards of amethyst kind of planted throughout your garden is a really good thing to do with them. So I would suggest that you can do that. And amethyst is also really good for, I love this, this is one of the most practical things I can think of, it deters fleas. So if you've got a pet who's got fleas, put a piece of amethyst in some water, in a sealed jar, and leave it overnight, and then put that water in your pet's water bowl. And the amethyst water will help to reduce fleas. Also, it helps a dog not to bark so much. It'll repel slugs, too, somebody has written in the chat room. How nice. I didn't know that, but that's good. Okay.
She says, will it repel slugs?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't know. Try it. I mean, that's the cool thing about this is, you know, you can experiment
mm-hmm.
with it. I don't think it would hurt, you know. So I just love the notion that amethyst can do some of those things for you. It's just really something you should have around. Peace by your bed is helpful for peaceful dreams, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So just think about that.
They're supposed to protect you from ghosts, too. So if you are a member of a paranormal team carrying amethyst in your pocket, it will keep a ghost from following you home.
Uh-huh, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll terminate quartz, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the way, just for that as well. So anyway, I just want to suggest that absolutely amethyst is a great thing to have for some real ordinary things in your life. You know.
Do you recommend some green stones for the garden as well?
I do. I do recommend some green stones. Green fluorite is really good for that, for just putting in potted plants or in your garden. So is green jasper. That's good for putting in your yard and for your grass
mm-hmm.
as well. But I also use red stones for tomatoes. So a piece of like, oh, I can see it in my hand. My mind's just gone blank. Help me think. What red stone am I thinking of?
Jasper?
Yes. Yes, thank you. Red jasper will help with that. Will help with gardening as well.
Okay. Now, I wanted to talk to you about the shapes of crystals because we get a lot of questions about that as well. When you are working with crystals, there it is important to keep in mind the shape of a crystal. I often recommend egg-shaped crystals. Now, I'm from the north, so I guess you're supposed to say egg, huh?
Yeah. That depends. I say egg.
Up north, you say egg. But egg-shaped crystals are great for women who are trying to get pregnant. They are great for writers, artists, anyone creative, because the egg symbolizes fertility. So it'll help you to give birth to ideas, to little people, to all sorts of things.
I have an egg-shaped piece of sodalite that you gave me that's helping me write a book.
That's right. And mm-hmm. sodalite is a great stone for writers as well.
Right, right.
It's often recommended for writers. It's a stone of communication, and it's also a stone of endurance, two things writers need.
mm-hmm. That's right.
heart-shaped crystals are used, obviously, for love and emotional healing. Massage wands, it's great. Like, I have a smoky quartz massage wand, and I love that little thing. If my husband has a backache, I'll just kind of, it's a single terminated smoky quartz wand. What that means is it's a massage wand that ends in a point. So
mm-hmm.
you can draw out pain. Like, I'll take the point of the pain on his back and I'll do like a clockwise circle over it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll take the smooth end of the wand and then just clockwise massage that smoky quartz there. Does that make sense? Because it
mm-hmm.
helps to absorb the pain. I hate to say this word. The four-sided pillar, the obelisk.
Oh, obelisk is correct.
Obelisk. Mm-hmm. I just would like to remind everybody that I am 99% self-taught, which means I read and study all of this on my own, so I make up my own pronunciations.
You got it. You're
Someone had to email me and tell me that it's not Chalcedony, it's Chalcedony, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've been saying that forever. Anyway, so never feel bad correcting me, please. I need to learn. But obelisks are used really to help us to charge energy, to kind of draw energy. They're great in grids. That's where I use mine is when I'm doing grids. Would you use yours for a different reason?
Cause no.
I know you have one in your house, right? Is yours
mm-hmm.
in your grid?
I use it in different grids, yes.
Okay. Pyramids, same thing, you know, four-sided triangular shape. It's wonderful. They can be very healing. They can be used in grids as well. They're great to focus and ground energy. I often will do a pyramid shape in my home, if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes
no.
sense. Like in my office, for example,
uh-huh.
when I'm trying to cleanse my office, I will take four single terminated crystals, and I will put them in the four corners of my office, pointing into the middle.
Oh, okay.
And then in the middle of my office, I'll put a pyramid,
uh-huh.
so that it just kind of creates that feel of energy.
I have a rose quartz pyramid, and it's on my altar, and underneath it is my list of people that I'm really doing intense prayer for at
mm-hmm.
the moment. And that's what I use my pyramid for, is to focus that healing energy
Great.
With that rose quartz.
Great suggestion for that.
Mm-hmm.
Skull crystals. Deb, what the heck are skull crystals about?
Oh, don't know. I don't use them. I don't have anything to do with them. I do not know why people carve stones into the shape of
Well, I mean, there are those famous crystal skulls.
Yes, I know, and there's lots of controversy about those. And
they're truly amazing.
They really are. I do not own a crystal made into a skull. That's all I can say about that.
I don't either, but only because I just don't like, you know, there's a Mexican restaurant downtown where we live that has all Day of the Dead. I can't go to eat there because there's nothing but dead skeletons staring at me. It's really weird.
Yeah, I know.
That's
Sorry.
Just my prejudice, But crystal skulls are supposed to help connect you to your ancient source of wisdom, which we all have within us. We all have that ancient wisdom.
I just think there are other ways.
And the crystal skull will help you with that. crystal balls, if they're real, there's a lot of glass balls that are sold, but if you can find, or a sphere or a crystal ball, they will help to kind of unify and round out any rough energy in the home. They're used to really help everybody to get along. They're used to remind us that everything comes full circle.
And it's also the easiest way for energy to transmit. So spheres of any stone are helpful for clarity of transmission of energy.
That's right. There are totem crystals. These are crystals that have been carved into different shapes, such as an animal or an angel or a symbol of protection. And they're really just to remind you of that protection that's around you that you can draw on at any time. And then tumbled stones. I love tumbled stones. A lot of people don't, but I collect at the beach. I collect smooth stones. You know, those stones that have been smoothed out by the ocean.
Yeah, those are also moonstones, but they're not scientifically the moonstones we were talking about early.
What do you mean by that? That's neat.
The moonstones that we find on our beaches are. Oh, gosh, this is where Joel needs to weigh in for me. But the moonstones that are on the beach are actually a different chemical composition than something like the moonstone that we wear around
right.
our neck. But it has been indeed worn smooth by being tumbled in the sand and in the water.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different stone.
Mm-hmm.
They're just also called moonstones.
I collect them. I keep them in big bowls. Around my house, sometimes I'll put plants on top of them, but I put them in glass bowls, and they just remind me that all the rough edges that exist in our souls can be smoothed out by time, by lessons, and by growth. And that's how tumbled stones are for me as well. They just remind me that everything, that we are durable. There are vocal cut crystals. Everybody, I'm saving my money for a vocal cut crystal.
They are beautiful to look at.
Oh, my gosh, I want one so badly. They are created by Marcel Vogel. He was an IBM engineer scientist who decided to cut a quartz into the shape of the Tree of Life and ended up discovering that it can really be an effective tool for healing. You have to be very careful that you make sure you get a vogel that has been cut by someone specifically trained. I have a couple of websites that I found that are pretty authentic, but they're, you know, like I think like a 2-inch one, like a small one is only like $200. But if you want like a big one, you're looking into the thousands.
Right.
And then there's worry stones, which are wonderful. They're just those lovely stones that have like a little groove in the center just for your thumb. And you can
mm-hmm.
just, you know, I had a unikite worry stone that I really rubbed the heck out of when I was laboring in my three births.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have a piece of amethyst that my thumb fits perfectly in.
Yeah, so those are different types of crystals.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple of questions in the chat room while we were talking that I want to get to. More crystals to help with protection from ghosts. Amethyst, like we said, black tourmaline, like Deb said, and I think what she was referring to there as well was any black stone will help you.
Mm-hmm. Obsidian.
Like hematite, yeah, mm-hmm. Apache tear, obsidian, jet. Those are the ones that I know of. I can't think of any more off the top of my head.
No, that's what I would use to set some boundaries with
yeah.
a being, regardless of which side of the veil they come from.
And just remember, if you do feel that you have a ghost in your home, you don't ask them to leave. You tell them to leave kindly, but... It's you have to create the boundary, and you have to remember that it's your home.
I want to talk about howlite.
Okay.
Because white howlite, for example, is really easy to come by. It's not expensive. You can buy small pieces for a dollar or two.
It has lovely gray veins in it.
Yeah, they do. It's a really pretty stone, and it's kind of chalky looking, but it is another one of those stones that everybody should have in their medicine bag. Because it really is about preventative care, and it certainly has to do with bones and minerals. It's very good for skeleton, it's something that I would certainly give somebody who's getting ready to go have a root canal, or somebody who's broken a leg. A piece of howlite is something that I would give them. But even more important than that, it's really a stone to help people to be conscious of their health care and to take care of themselves. So it really is a protective stone in that sense, in that it does help you to bring awareness to being aware of taking care of your body. And so I love that. It's also really good for children who are afraid to sleep in the dark.
Well, it's the number one stone recommended for preventing nightmares.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And it also is good for cats who like to wander. So if you have a cat who doesn't want to stay very close to home, put a piece of howlite in his little bed or near his food, and he'll hang out at home more often.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, there's another odd little thing that I think is a great thing to know about a stone.
Now, we had a lot of people in the chat room and an email asking us more about what we were taught, how we were using crystals in the layout to heal the body. So I think you're leading there, so we should talk a little bit about that, too.
Oh, sure.
Because
you mean like to do a grid for healing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's lots of neat things you can do with that. There's the simple one that I think we were talking about was just putting the chakra stones on the chakras and then breathing in the energy of that stone, so breathing in red and exhaling red.
Sure, but, you
there's
know,
lots
you can
of other things.
Yeah, you can create a grid. And I like Samantha, really tend to point the points of my crystals inward so that there becomes this focal point of the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to work in circular patterns. That's kind of works for me in thinking about healing and holism. So I will make a circle or a spiral of stones that specifically address what's going on with somebody. And so, and I don't just deal with the physical ailment if we're looking at, and if I'm being asked to create a grid for somebody for healing, you also have to look at the emotional piece that goes with it or the spiritual piece that goes with it and include stones that might represent that as well. So if, for example, I've got somebody who's getting ready to go into surgery for a specific body part, I might say, I mean, suppose they're having, I don't know, gallbladder surgery, for example. Well, I might certainly put in some stones that are specific to taking care of gallbladder and elimination, which is a part of what, of course, the gallbladder does. But I would also put in a stone for healing of incisions. I would put in green calcite, for example, for preventing infections. I would put in some maybe amethyst or rose quartz or something like that to keep somebody calm and focused and to having a positive viewpoint about the surgery. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I have two layouts I just want to discuss quickly, and then we'll do our little break. One is a good one that I learned in a crystal workshop years ago to increase energy. So if you just come home from a trip and you're feeling tired, or if you just had a difficult week and you feel like you need to, you know, really replace some of that energy, you can take three single terminated or just three tumbled citrine and one single terminated quartz. So that's, you need four stones. Three of them are citrine, which is that beautiful golden yellow stone, and one is a clear quartz, preferably single terminated, but doesn't have to be. And you want to place two of the citrines, one in each of your palms, so two go in your hands, one goes on your third eye, and if you do have a single terminated citrine, point it up away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the single terminated crystal, or just the clear crystal, goes on your solar plexus. And you just breathe in that energy, and you ask the courage and the confidence and the vitality of the citrine to run through your body, and you ask the clear quartz to cleanse your energy. So that can be a nice one to do. There's another good one. Deb and I are going to be talking in a moment about a forgiveness class we're teaching Wednesday night. And there's a great crystal layout to help release trauma from an event or a person that you're having a hard time forgiving. And with that one, all you need are six tumbled carnelian. Carnelian is that beautiful orangey stone that works on second chakra issues in particular. And you want to take these six stones, and one would go between the ankles if you're laying down. One would go mid-calf. You'd place two at your elbows, around each side of your elbow, one at the throat chakra, one at the third eye, and one at the crown chakra. And you would have to meditate in that position for 20 minutes. And I usually recommend doing a guided imagery on forgiveness while you're laying the carnelian layout. One of the best guided imageries I've ever experienced on forgiveness is Shirley MacLaine's. I have a tape. I still have it, Deb. I have a tape, a cassette tape. I can't believe people still own those, but I do. Shirley MacLaine, and it's the typical one where you go on stage and you talk to the person that you need to forgive.
Right.
But so what you can do is you can just get a copy of a forgiveness guided imagery CD or MP3 and listen to it while you're laying with these carnelians.
And somebody wrote a very practical question in the chat room is, you know, you use flat stones, the tumble ones roll off my body. Yeah, I have that problem too. I do try to get stones that have a flatter back to them. And sometimes it tends to help if I'm lying flat on the floor,
yeah,
like on a yoga mat or something. And just if I hold my legs up, if I lay with my legs with my knees bent, sometimes that, for some reason, helps to keep stones in place.
You can tape them. You can put them under your clothes. You can put them right on your skin and then put your sweater over it.
Right.
I've told everybody about my stretchy headband technique for the third eye.
Sure.
Because that's the only place where my stones just roll right off, and it's so frustrating. So I get the stretchy headband, and I just put it right over there.
There you go. Exactly. While we're on the subject of carnelian, my sister and her husband are building a house, and I gave them last year a piece of carnelian, because it is the perfect stone for helping people to build houses, for do-it-yourself enthusiasts. They're really good it really helps to radiate positivity and to help people move along with building projects.
Do you know that's the second cause of marital stress?
Oh, I'm sure it's true.
The first one is a death in the family. The second is trying to build a house together.
I'm sure that's
and then
true.
The third is like loss of a job.
Yeah, yeah. That's, having been over and looked at the progress of my sister's house, I can see how that might be true.
Well, knowing your sister and her husband, they're going to be just fine.
Oh, they will be. They will be, but I am sure that there are some stressful pieces to this, you know.
Okay, well, we're at the halfway point, so we just want to remind
you are
listening to The Psychic Teachers. I'm Samantha Fay.
I'm Deb Bowen.
And we're so happy that you can be here with us each and every week. It's really such a treat to hear from you all, and we are going to be getting to some of your emails in just a second. If you get a chance this week, check out my blog post that I just did today on the power of forgiveness. If any of it resonates with you, you might want to consider checking out our telecourse. It's this Wednesday night, 8:30 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It's $25. It comes with a series of handouts and some questions and some journaling and a lovely guided meditation that Deb and I are going to facilitate for you. So that is coming up Wednesday night. Deb and I do offer the duo readings. I think we have a couple this week.
We do, actually, yes. And I got a couple of emails today with folks wanting to schedule things I'll tell you about.
Yeah, so we've got that going on. What else? Am I forgetting anything? Oh, you know what we do have to do, Deb? I should mention this off the air, I know. But someone emailed me, and they said that they want to download some of our downloadable telecourses, but they don't know we need better descriptions on them.
Oh, well, okay, we'll work on that. Thank you for that suggestion.
That's a good idea. So we do have three on there already. Discover the Psychic in You, Psychic Protection, and Energy Vampires, and is Numerology on there already?
I can't remember.
I got to remember and look it up. And we will be getting more out to you because those are so popular. We really, really, really appreciate your support in downloading those and just supporting us. It makes it easier to be able to do this show every week, so just want to thank you all for that.
Indeed.
Do you want to add anything?
I don't, other than that if you, just to tell you tell folks how to get to us, if the forgiveness workshop resonates for you, you can go to our Psychic Teachers website. It's just psychicteachers.com. And from there you can get to Samantha's website and the PayPal button. And if you let us know that you want to enroll in that course, we will, Samantha will take care of that for you and get the handouts and the call-in instructions to you. So we'd be just honored to have you join us for this workshop. We did one last week on manifesting and just had a great group of folks with us who asked some wonderful questions. And we love doing those, so we'd love to have you join us for that. It's about an hour and a half.
Francine did put in the chat room that the third marital stress is having small children.
Yeah, I would agree with Francine.
And I would like to ask everyone to send me prayers because I have Easter, then my youngest daughter turns 6 the next day, then the following week my 8-year-old receives her first communion. We have family flying in. I have a caterer. It's going to be like a very big thing. I'm very stressed out planning that. And then the following week is my oldest child. She's turning 10.
Can't believe she's 10 years old. Okay.
I can't either.
Oh, wow.
And my youngest keeps going, Olivia, you're 2 years away from being a teenager.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, 3 years. Please, let's practice our adding. Not make that happen too soon. Anyway, so send me good energy because that's a lot of small children things coming up.
It certainly is. So, folks, thank you so much for joining us with the Psychic Teachers, and we so appreciate hearing from you. Please remember to like us on Facebook. Samantha's better at sending out notices on Facebook than I am, but, gosh, here we go. So, okay. You want to talk some about some of the comments and emails that we've gotten this week that particularly related to our last week's topic? If you tuned in with us last week, you know that we talked about divination tools, and we had some comments about that and some other things as well. So you want to go there, Samantha?
Yes. Lori sent just the nicest email telling us that she disagreed with us. And I mean that in all sincerity. She was so informative, and I really appreciated her email. She said, "Hi, Deb and Samantha. I was really excited listening to your latest podcast on psychic tools, but was extremely disappointed on your biased and unfair thoughts on the Ouija board."
Okay.
"I do believe there are spirits on different levels, but to single out the Ouija board and say it brings only the lowest spirits is ignorant and not true. I am an expert on Ouija boards. I really am. I've used them for many years with no problems in any way, shape, or form. You should be careful with any divination tool. Ouija boards are not to be singled out like some bad black sheep of the divination family," which is true. She said, "I don't know about other people's gods, goddesses, but mine protects me from evil spirits, so that alone makes me not afraid to use one. I think it was especially after the film The Exorcist that made so many people freak out and terrified of the board," which she's right about that.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "I have 3 boards, 2 commercial ones, and one she made of raw natural wood," which is pretty cool. "All I do before I use it or any divination tool is to say a simple prayer for protection against evil spirits, and that only positive spirits come through to communicate with me. No dramatic preparations or actions, just a simple and sweet prayer. If you are polite and respect the tools and the spirits will in turn be polite and respect you." So I just think that's a really good tip. And she says, one thing to not do with the Ouija board, do not keep repeating a question if they don't answer.
Oh, okay.
She said, it's rude. You can rephrase it or wait another day to ask again. But sometimes they don't want to or can't answer you for a variety of reasons. These are my personal thoughts. For more information, I highly recommend reading a book called The Medium's Book. P.S. I do agree with you about Aleister Crowley.
Okay. So there we go.
I thought that was a good thing to point out because we are a little prejudiced against the Ouija board.
Well, I am, and I would just say this. I have had some amazing experiences with a Ouija board. I'll tell a real quick story about this. Many years ago, during the protest era, so now you folks know how old I am, of the late 60s, I had a group of friends who had gone to Washington, and I didn't go, and nor did another friend. And we were back at school, and we were playing with the Ouija board, and we were asking it those, girl kind of questions, who will I marry and that sort of thing. And the planchette stopped, froze in the middle of the board, and then it spelled out 3 times, "Stuart is hurt, Stuart is hurt, Stuart is hurt." Stuart was one of our friends who went to Washington. So we said, what was wrong? And we asked. The board said, broken leg. We asked if he was in a hospital. It said yes, but it couldn't give us the name of a hospital. So we did some research, and we found the hospital we thought was most likely to be the one that he would be in. We gathered back in those days our money for a payphone, called the emergency room. They said, no, there's no one here by this name. This was way before HIPAA laws. And we were just, you know, darn bored, you know, that we spent all of our fun money on this phone call and, you know, blah, blah, blah. When he got back to campus, he called and said, you called the hospital 10 minutes before I got there.
Wow. Now, why does that scare you?
That wasn't scary.
Okay.
That wasn't scary. That was really cool.
That sounds like a really neat thing, yeah.
It was a neat thing. But I watched this same gal that I was working with the board that day. She ended up having some serious mental problem. She, at the end of that semester, her parents took her out of school. And part of what happened to her was that she got so fixated on that board that it became obsessive for her.
Yeah.
And nobody and nothing could pull her away. And she kept spiraling downhill into this demonic place. And I know that was about her more than it was about the board, but it still frightened me enough. And I was 18 years old, but it still frightened me enough that I really didn't want to have anything else to do with boards. And I've had some other experiences since then. But
I'm telling you, I bet you only two other people in the world will agree with me, but there's a horror movie from the 80s that features the video vixen from all the White Snake videos. And it's about how she gets addicted to the Ouija board and invites all this negative stuff into her home. I think it got like a half a star, but it's a really good movie, in my opinion.
Right.
And it was the same thing where, like, it told her good stuff at first. In Lori's defense, everything in moderation.
Absolutely. And I appreciate her views and really grateful that she wrote us to express them. And we certainly honor your perspective, so thank you for that.
We have another good question that we receive a lot. She said, I always see the clock at 11:11 or 10:10.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. What does,
me too.
What does this mean for me? I'm a mental health therapist and feel like I'm being called to be a spiritual teacher, but I'm not sure what that means yet.
There's a lot. Let me give you one of the best websites I know that explains that phenomenon probably most succinctly. There's a woman whose name is Ellie, and I can't do her last name, but the name of her website is
Crystal Links?
Crystal Links, and I think it's two L's. I think it's crystallinks.com, but I may have that wrong. And if you just go to her website, it's a massive website. She's just full of information. And if you just type in 1111, her answer to that is probably one of the best I've ever read. But in a nutshell, the notion is that when we see, sometimes it's 1111, sometimes it's 1212, 1010, as you point out, it's our guides and our unconscious helping to remind us of our psychic and intuitive abilities, to make us take a moment to pause and get connected with the energy of the universe. That's probably the simplest way I know to think about that.
Mm-hmm. There's a whole book. I haven't read it, but there's a book written called The 1111 Phenomenon or something.
Yeah, there is.
I've heard good things about it, but I have not read it. It is, I think any time, my sister had this weird thing that happened for about a year, and we never could figure it out, but she would wake up every night at either 2:22, 3:33, or 4:44, or 5:55. It was just every night. Spirit was trying to tell her something, but this was years ago before we were really good at this. But it's really, I think, there are two things you should do. One is offer up a prayer for someone, because sometimes we're awoken up to pray for someone. And the second thing is to ask. You know, show me. Make this evident to me. Have someone tell me, have a book fall on my lap, an article. But, you know, just say, I'm recognizing the sign. I appreciate it. Tell me what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you feel you're being called to be a light worker, guess what? you are.
You bet. You bet.
I can tell you there are mean people sitting around that are not going, I think I'm meant to be a light worker and help others.
No, no, if you believe you are, you are.
That's right.
And
if you're a mental health practitioner, I think you already are a light worker, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, we had another good question. Actually, this is a comment, and I just wanted to comment on it because this is another email we get a lot. Dear Deb and Samantha, my name is Leanne. I'm from Maine. I'm writing to share my experience and get your interpretation. I have a busy brain and find it hard to maintain any stillness in my head, so I decided to try meditation the other night. I have some guided meditation podcasts, and I put on one that is helping to find intuition. It was late, and I was laying in bed with the lights off and under the blankets. The spoken part of the meditation process podcast had ended. I thought I was about to fall asleep when I suddenly zapped. I don't know how else to explain the sensation. It was like what I imagine being jolted with a quick burst of electricity feels like throughout my body. I saw a burst of bright lavender. It was like a camera flash going off in front of my eyes, except it was lavender. It was such a surprise. I snapped my eyes open and sat up. It sort of looked like a shadowy figure was quickly backing away from my bed, but I can't be positive that. I really don't know what to make of it, and I was hoping you could help. So I told her that that's great. That's your third eye opening up.
Yeah.
I don't think that the shadowy figure, I think that's just her coming back to reality. Does that make sense?
I think so, too. I think it was just probably shadows in the room. I don't think there was an entity of any sort in her room. Our eyes do amazing things, those little sparkles. Those of you, and I bet many of our listeners had this happen, just before you're going to sleep at night, it's like somebody's shooting off little sparkles or fireworks in your behind your eyelids. That's just what that is. It's your connection with your spirit guides happening there as you're going to sleep.
And purple is the color of the third eye, that dark purple.
Exactly.
And so that's, and lavender is the connection of connecting to our higher self. So she could have been seeing her higher self as well when she woke up her eyes and saw something briefly.
Yeah, but don't necessarily go to the idea that it's not good. Sometimes
right.
It's really good beings.
Well, and seeing purple is such a good sign, really, of your third eye opening up. So great step, and I would just encourage her to continue with that
mm-hmm.
meditation. Obviously, that guided meditation works for her, and I would continue with it. We have another question from Darlene. She says, I would like to continue my studies with the intuition, but I've been seeing dark shadows in my house, my car, etc. It's overwhelming sometimes. And I'd like to learn how to adjust to these new surroundings. So what do you recommend for seeing dark shadows?
Well, the first thing is I would grid the house.
Mm-hmm.
I would certainly put lots of stones around. I had folks in my house today, and one of the people who was here brought her little girls who were 8 and 9, and you know, they're 8 and 9 year olds, and they're real curious all over the house, and one finally comes to me, and she says, Miss Deb, you have a lot of rocks in your house. And I said, yeah, I do. And she said, can I touch them? And I thought, how sweet of her to ask. And I said, absolutely, just put them right back where you found them. That'll be fine. And, you know, I would never have told her not to pick those stones up. So I know that's different. But I would recommend certainly gridding her house. Just imagine it encased in a bubble of light. Some of your angel spray. Are you still making that? You
yes,
are.
Yes, I am.
Some of your angel spray is a great thing to do, to just spray around and create a positive bubble of energy in your home. And then just say, just as Samantha said earlier in the hour, if you feel like there's somebody there that shouldn't be there, tell them to leave. It is your space. It is just absolutely your face, your space, and they need to go.
And I don't know how much... I struggle with this because there are certain times I see shadows in my house a lot. I see them in your house.
I know I see them in my house all the time, but I know who mine are.
I see them. It's funny. I mean, even my husband sometimes will like, what's that? And I just, for me, it's kind of become normal, and that kind of scares me too. But I just know, oh, okay, whoops, I need to sage. And the next day I'll set my family out and I'll sage my house. But I think I shared that story, didn't I? How I was chopping vegetables for dinner and I saw this dark shadow, and I said, "Get the bleep bleep out of my house!" And I kept chopping vegetables, and I was like, "This is, I'm getting way too used to this. This is too weird."
Yeah, and you know, I know sometimes And those shadow people, if that's what they are, excuse me, do appear seemingly kind of at random, and they just kind of show up, and they literally do kind of slink around a corner, and they're gone in a twinkling of an eye. And they show up in my house every once in a while, but I know that's what they are, and I say, okay, guys, you got to go. You're not welcome here. There's no reason for you to be here. Go bug somebody else. And I don't mean that literally. I don't want to send them to someone else's home, but, you know, get out of my space. And I send them on their way, and I smudge, and I clean, and I reinforce the grid, and they go away.
Sometimes, and I'd like everybody's feedback on this, too, because I don't know, but sometimes I feel that the shadows are just my negative thought forms of worry or fear or anxiety that have dropped away from my aura.
That's a very good possibility. You know, that you will either bring there, it's part of you,
yeah,
or that you've allowed that kind of energy into your home.
Exactly, because I notice that I'll see them when I'm tired, when I'm overworked, when I'm stressed out, when I'm not present, when I'm not focused, when I'm just, you know, what's that? I'm kind of sick of hearing that, but when I'm a human doing instead of a human being.
There you go.
You know, that's when I tend to see them.
Right.
Okay,
exactly.
So we had another good question from Paula in Northern California that I can't read because we're running out of time. It's very long. But basically what she's saying is that a friend of hers had a visitor to her home, a woman she knew, who was drinking and getting drunk a lot and was practicing magic and spell casting and was just acting really erratic. And once the friend left, she said that her and her husband, who live in the house where the friend visited, just felt drained to the point of exhaustion. The house felt uncomfortable, and they both started having nightmares. One nightmare was where the creepy alcoholic friend was trying to get into the house, break into the house with a box cutter. Just another nightmare where they had to call 911 because she was coming in. All sorts of really crazy things. And she was saying, you know, obviously she's going to be saging the house and clearing it with crystal prisms and asking for the power of protection. She said, sorry for the long email. I just wanted to know if you and Deb had any more suggestions that could help clear herself from this negative energy that her friend dropped off.
Stop thinking about her friend. You know, when we think about something, we give it power.
Yeah.
I know folks have heard me say this on this show before, but I truly believe it. It's that wonderful line from a song by Jewel, no longer lend your strength to that which you wish to be free from. So just stop thinking about her. Don't let her into your thought field.
That's okay? A good suggestion. So continue the cleansing, but don't give it any more power. Ed and Lorraine Warren always say that. They say when they would leave an investigation, they would not talk about it.
Right, and that's why.
Because you give it power.
We have a question in the chat room that I want to get to before we run out of time. Dawn has asked, are there times we should avoid certain stones?
I can't think of them.
You know, I don't think you'd want to carry unkite with you if you didn't want to get pregnant.
Well, unkite's a stone of birth, though. So if you're trying to give birth, it's not a stone of getting pregnant. It's a stone of, like, while you're pregnant. Do you know what I mean? And then while you're in labor.
Oh, I see. Okay, so, never mind. Scratch that.
I don't know, I can't think of, the only thing is, I know one I've had trouble with is malachite. Like sometimes there are times when I'm going through a stressful situation and I can't think about it until it's over. Like I kind of just have to get through it and then I can process it. Until that time period, I wouldn't want to meditate with malachite.
You know, that's...
It wouldn't be bad for me to do that. I can't think of anything.
Malachite is such a powerful stone, and I was in a store a year ago and found this beautiful piece of malachite in a beautiful setting, and it was ghastly expensive, and I didn't let myself buy it, and I thought about it for a year. And so I was back in that store on this last trip I took out to South Dakota, and I said, okay, if I go into that store and that necklace is still there, I'm buying it. It was gone. It wasn't meant for me.
That's right.
You know, and I knew that.
We had another email that I wanted to mention briefly, and maybe we can pick up with it next week. But she's saying that her little brother keeps seeing a dark man, is how he describes it. And even when he calls on Christ, the dark man says, I'm not going anywhere. And I just wanted to say that I do believe that we are always in power and in control, and it's just what Deb was saying before. If you give that negative energy too much energy, it will stay. So you have to focus on the light, not on the dark, and remember that the light will always protect you.
Absolutely. The light will always protect you. Okay, two quick stones. We're out of time. Oh, shoot. And somebody wants to talk about malachite issues, and somebody else wants to talk about citrine.
Oh, my gosh, Rocky Mountain. It's like malachite is like holding an anxiety attack. That is so awesome.
Okay. And then citrine, I don't know. I always find citrine to be very comforting and to help me stay in my head. So I would say
that. The one stone that amplifies your feelings is clear crystal.
Yeah, not citrine.
Not citrine will amplify your feelings of courage and confidence and joy. It's like holding
right.
a little ball of sun.
There you go. Gosh, we are out of time. Folks, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Great questions in the chat room. We are grateful to you, and we look forward to being with you again a week from tonight.
That's right.
So I hope everybody has a blessed week.
Yes, and keep your emails coming with any questions. We will always try to address them on the show so we can help other people with your questions too.
Okay. Thanks. Good night, everyone.
Take care.
Bye-bye.